Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. And I got to tell you, folks, you need to check out the book. I started to read it, The Takeover of Public Education in America, The Agenda to Control Information and Knowledge Through the Accountability System in Our Schools for Our Children Today. If you're not aware of this, it's a good read. Thank you, Patrick Cuff, for coming on and doing that with us here. My second guest, and I'm going to introduce him here. Actually, I'm bringing him up. Michael, welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you. The man, the legend. It's an honor to be with you.
Michael, pronounce your last name for me.
It's Mojo Leski.
Mojo Leski. Well, okay, it's a lot different than it looks in the spelling.
Yeah, but if somebody from Poland was here, they would say it different, you know, with a different accent. But it's kind of got Americanized in the Mojo Leski.
Okay. Well, that's easier to say than I thought. So, well, welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So you are a quite interesting gentleman, okay?
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, I interview a lot of people, and you are an author and an adventurer. Now, you know, we all know that life's an adventure, but you've taken it to another level, okay? You're actually in the wilderness, so to speak, okay? You're the author of Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, and Indians.
Fuck you, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, how did you get started on this?
Well, you know, and it's such a great program you just had on, the need for education and to reform the way we're doing it. It was just marvelous. And it all started with my mother reading to me when I was a little boy growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, 6, 7 years old. Every night she would read me to sleep with all the great stories, the magical stories, Grimm's Fairy Tale, King Arthur, Ivanhoe. And one night she picked up Jack London, Call of the Wild. And why that particular story resonated so much with me, living, you know, in an industrial city. And my mother said she kept reading when my eyes were closed and my chest was moving up and down when I was sleeping. And, you know, it's been proven if you want to learn a language, you leave the tape recorder run all night, because I really believe that our subconscious never really sleeps, sort of like the oven light that's always on. And ever since, you know, she lit me up with that story of adventure in the wild north, it just resonated with me. She planted the seeds even then, and then the rest of my, you know, youth, I was looking to live that life, to have those adventures, to challenge myself. And be careful what you ask for, it just might happen.
Yeah, no kidding there. No kidding there. So your website is your name. So I'm going to spell it because I want people to check us out. This is really cool stuff. Now, I heard you on another interview on Tough Talk Network prior to this interview, so I have some questions, but I want to spell it. It's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and then it's M-O-D-Z-E-L-E-W-S-K-I.com. I'm going to spell it again, M-O-D-Z-E-L-E-W-S-K-I, and the first name is Michael. Check out the website, and I'm telling you, I'm fascinated because, well, tell me, I'm you know, you host an adventure travel TV show, you do motivational speaking, you've been exploring Alaska and leading walk safaris in Africa. How do you monetize all this? I mean, is this a paying gig? Is this just something that did you hit the lottery? How did you get started on, you said about reading and stuff, but what took you there? I'm assuming you went on a vacation or you checked something out and then you thought, this is for me. But living with killer whales and bald eagles and all that there, how do you turn that into revenue? And at the end of the day, what is it that you're looking to accomplish from it?
Well, you know, there was a great author, mythologist named Joseph Campbell, and he had three simple words that have always been my mantra. And he simply said, follow your bliss. And I never was interested in being a rich man monetarily. But I think if you live your passion, if you're lit up with purpose and energy, then people have no choice but to get the closed doors out of your way. And I found that all throughout my life. So it took a while to get that flame lit, but I was living in Aspen, Colorado, came out of Indiana University, went to journalism school. I wanted to be a writer. And I'm living in Aspen, Colorado, and it's funny how certain flashpoints happen in our life, and you wonder, was it an accident or was it actually part of your life plan? And every summer in Aspen, they have an international design conference where they bring designers in from all over the world to talk shop. It's open to the public. So I had no money, freelance writer, just going from assignment to assignment, living on peanut butter. And if you volunteered to set up the tents, they would let you in for free. A ticket normally costs like $500. So I helped put up the tents, got into the design conference. And the first day they had a lunch break. And they said, okay, 1,000 people, go outside. We're going to watch hang gliders come off the top of Ajax Mountain and land at your feet. So, Tony, there's 1,000 people with their heads back, spinning around like tops, watching these human kites come down off this 14,000-foot mountain. And I bump into a back. But why didn't I bump into the back 14 inches to the left, 14 inches to the right? Bump into a back, whip off my sunglasses, a beautiful French architect from Vancouver, British Columbia, Jean-Vierre, fell in love. She went back home after the conference. I was getting a letter a day to come and visit her. I had never been as far west as Colorado. So I stuck out my thumb, hitchhiked all the way over to Los Angeles, all the way up the west coast of the U.S., spent 2 weeks with Jean-Vierre on her sailboat, going north through the Inside Passage to Alaska. And I didn't even know this place existed. And it is absolutely amazing up there. You've got 14,000-foot mountains coming right out of the ocean. You've got glaciers that are sapphire blue. Killer whales escorted our sailboat. We're watching grizzly bears pull salmon out of the rivers. I mean, it's just a natural splendor up there. So I have my suitcases packed by the door of Jean-Vierre's apartment. The phone rings. It's a man that owns a wilderness island that had got Jean-Vierre's phone number 9 years before. That's how infrequently he could actually leave his island. And he wanted to take her out for dinner. And Jean-Vierre said, Will, I remember you. You're the man that lives in paradise. You play your guitar to the killer whales. They come in and listen. You take your coat off. The bees, when you're gardening, and the bees make hives in your pockets. And I would love to go out, but I have company. Michael's here. Tony, 99.9% of men would hang up the phone and say, oh, okay, I'll catch you in another 9 years. He said, all right, the three of us will go out. So Jean-Vierre was ignored, and Will had what I wanted. He had Jack London. He had Call of the Wild. He had my first book that I wanted to sink my heart into to write. And I almost grabbed him by the lapels and shook him and said, could I come and visit? And Jean-Vierre just sat back, ignored. She's watching, you know, this ping pong match going back and forth in front of her eyes. And I think Will read my mind. He said, Mike, I'm in a hurry. Got to go. Come and see my island, 200 miles north and 100 years back in time. We're having Chinese food. The fortune cookies come at the end of the meal. Thinking nothing of it, I crack open my cookie. It says, you're going on a journey to an exotic land. I mean, do you need a hammer to hit you over the head? So I really believe that these, quote, accidents, bumping into this woman's back, you know, that there are these points in our life where we can go left, we can go right. But she changed my whole life. I couldn't continue the relationship, but every New Year's Eve I call her and I thank Jean-Vierre for giving me my future, because she was the gateway to my whole life.
So, you know, I'm looking on your website, and I want to spell it out to them again, because after hearing what they're hearing, they're going to want to know more. And this is where you can find out some interesting stuff that I'm going to tell you here. But it's M-O-D-Z-E-L-E-W-S-K-I, Michael, M-O-D-Z-E-L-E-W-S-K-I.com. Now, on the website, and I tell people all the time, if you don't take advantage of looking at what you could do, it's kind of like if you did not take advantage of walking outside to watch those people flying in the air, You never had the opportunity to have that so-called coincidence, or maybe something that God had a funny sense of humor about, to meet the person that got you to where you are today, basically. But you've been on Oprah's Winfrey show a couple times, How Couples Meet in an Unusual Way, and Romance Coach. You've been on PBS TV, Cosmo Magazine as Bachelor of the Month. You are a speaker for Princess Cruises through the, I believe it's up in Alaska. Is that correct?
Yeah, the strange thing is I work with Princess all spring and summer. We get 3,000 people from around the world, all 50 states, to take a week-long cruise to Alaska, and we now go by the very island that I used to live on. Yeah, talk about life coming full circle.
Right.
And so what happened with Will is he gave me the invitation to come and visit. I thought I was going to stay 2 weeks, turned into 2 years, my first time there. And I had a lot of trouble, though, with my parents. In fact, if there's any football fans out there, they might recognize the last name. My dad and uncle played in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants back in the day, you know, before they made the millions and the game kind of got spoiled. And so the Modjeleski brothers, there was Big Mo, who was my father, Little Mo, my Uncle Dick. And my Uncle Dick played 14 years in New York Giants when they had Gifford and Huff and all those championship years. But my dad, I quit my job from the island, and I never went home. And he called the mounted police thinking I was smoking some funny tobacco because he could not figure out how you could quit a job without having another one lined up. But the person I had the most trouble with was my mother. She's Italian, and Italian mothers are smothers. You know, her whole attitude was, don't live, you might die. So here I am, you know, living out in the wilderness and being Italian and Catholic. She has all these visions and superstitions. And, oh, Michael, don't go. Don't stay there. My eye's twitching. It means death. I know a bear is going to eat you. And, you know, I don't care what age you are. You want your parents' approval. Well, I had none. I mean, my dad did not speak to me for a year. And here's my mother dropping the death bombs on me. But something deep in my heart said, high risk, high yield. You got to roll the dice on this. Nothing may come of it. Maybe a bear will eat you. But you just have to stay here and write your first book about that experience, my version of Call of the Wild.
Wow, it's very cool. I've looked up your last name and put the word football there, and I found, you know, Richard and Ed, football players. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania, so
part of Pennsylvania?
I grew up in a town called Norristown, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia, by King of Prussia Valley Forge area. Of course, you guys are further west, or north, I guess you would say, but... it reminds me of my dad because same age, my father passed away. He's a few years older, but avid football fan and played semi-pro ball back in the day, you know, in the 40s. And so it's pretty cool stuff. But I understand I haven't, my mother's since passed, but I come from an Italian family and, you know, I moved out of town. At a young age, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. So the twitch of the eye, or, you know, the so-called maloic, the evil eye, tells all kinds of things, you know. So it's just hysterical how people think. And, you know, guilt was a way of raising children, which I don't think was bad. You know what I mean? I still use it a little bit myself. But it's kudos to you, though, for continuing on and doing what you've done to be able to tell things that people, you know, that come from the neighborhood where you grew up that still live there and will live there and their children will live there in the same house and for years and centuries and never experience anything outside of that. Well, I call, you know, I grew up in a small town, which was a large town really compared to the places I've been, but they kind of lived in a Dixie cup. You know, they really didn't understand what was out there. They just knew what they knew. You know, nothing against them. But, man, what you've done is unbelievable. Now, you have books. the wildlife, Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales and Bald Eagles, Angel's Crest, and North Through Paradise. When is the next book coming?
Well, right now, the latest book that I wrote a couple of years ago, and the strange thing was, here I am living on this wilderness island. I wrote a book about it, as you mentioned, Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, Squawky Little Indians, knowing nothing about how publishing works. I sent it myself to one of the biggest publishers in the world in New York City called HarperCollins. And, I mean, you never get a book published unless you go through an agent and, you know, have the proper procedures. But, again, another one of these accidents where it's stacked up in what they call a slush pile, where stuff comes in unsolicited. And there's an editor who had a Polish last name at HarperCollins, and he's walking by the slush pile to take his lunch break, eat a sandwich at his desk, and he sees SKI sticking out of the bottom of the pile. And he tugs on the manuscript, and he says, oh, must somebody's Polish or whatever, I'll give it a look. So if it wasn't a fluke like that, Dan Bial, who shortened his Polish name, you know, reading that manuscript and pushing it through to be published, that started my whole literary career. And then one of the editors was having lunch one day with the late, great Helen Gurley Brown, who died about, I guess, over a year ago. Helen Gurley Brown took a little magazine called Cosmopolitan and made it into the best-selling women's magazine in the world. It's now in 100 countries, translated in 87 languages. And for reasons, Tony, I will never figure out, she decided to make me one of the Bachelors of the Month. Every month they have a single guy that they feature in the magazine for the Cosmo girls, the millions of girls around the world to write to. So here I am living on this wilderness island with no dates. I mean, I'm howling at the moon every month just from the loneliness because the northern lights are dancing, killer whales jumping in front of your kayak. You want to share it with somebody, preferably female. You know, but I didn't have that. So I publish a book, go to New York City, find out I'm Mr. November. 5,000 letters came in from women around the world, Mongolia, South Africa. I mean, I went from famine to feast, and I dated my way for a couple of years down through all the mailbags, and that's eventually how I met my wife. So right now we're getting close to doing a movie and, you know, pushing that through. So that's what I'm working on right now. But, you know, well, it's La Vida Loca. How can you go roll the dice, live on an island, you know, fight off bears? And, I mean, I died about 50 times. I mean, if we have 9 lives like a cat, I'm down to about 1.5. Then come back to civilization, this whole bachelor thing happens. And one time I was doing an interview and somebody said, describe your strength, the strongest thing about you and the weakest thing about you. And I said, it's the same word, extremist. You know, it's either one extreme or the other, it seems life is.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. And, you know, the thing of it is, Michael, we if we're passionate enough or, you know, in my case, stubborn enough to keep trying, you can succeed at just about anything. And once you succeed, you really get to look back down the path and understand the real purpose of your success, and there's just more than ringing the bell. I mean, what has come along in the journey along with you to get to the bell is stuff that you didn't plan on, and it's wisdom that you couldn't purchase. So I would imagine that you have wisdom out the wazoo just from the experiences in life over others because you took experiences that others wouldn't take. So we're up against the clock here, Michael, but if we had to give out a tip, a suggestion for the men out there, because, you know, we're not the sharpest tools in the shed until we find a good woman. But, and I'm not saying to tell the men to go to a deserted island to get their groove on to be able to be appreciated or be able to appreciate what is here in the States, but what would you tell a man out there that would help him understand more of his own value, because that's what it comes down to? You have gotten a chance to recognize your own strength, weaknesses, and value. How would you give someone that tip?
Well, Tony, I'm convinced, and there's a great saying that's been another mantra in my life, that we attract what we are. And I really believe that we direct the movie called life from the inside out. And I think that very few things happen to us externally. So I think as you develop your soul, as you grow that soul, as you work on yourself internally, your strengths, that's what you attract. It's a magnetic energy. I mean, thoughts are things. And what we put out into the universe, we attract those levels exactly. And I think if you work on yourself and you try to be the strongest, best, most giving and loving person, if you live to give, that little bit that we put out in a loving manner, it comes back to us a thousandfold. And I think it's that way with the man-woman thing as well. You know, people, guys ask me, hey, with all your Cosmo experience, what's the greatest pickup line in the world to use on a woman? And I go, it's one word, hello. Just be yourself. Don't play the games. If you are genuine and you just resonate with authenticity, then, I mean, they'll be lining up at the door because that's so rare today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Michael, I could talk to you for 3 more hours. I'm going to get you back on another show because I want to spend a whole hour talking about some things because, you know, I'm constantly speaking to men about, you know, being better. And I'm speaking to people about being better, and it all starts with themselves, and we are all gifted a heart. And if we would just use it for more than just having the blood flow through our system, it could be incredible. My one-word tip for the folks out there, because we are overrunning in our show today, is I want to make sure that you pay attention to the one word. It's called listen. Okay, listen to what other people are doing and how they're better themselves, okay? Read the words of others and read, period, and listen to the words. And when you're done reading, listen some more and figure out how you can be better at what you're doing. Michael, I want to meet you in person. So I'm
Tony, I want to tell you, you are such a gem. To be able to talk on this level and not just the superficial chit-chat, but to go to depths like this is what I live for. And you are doing a great thing. You are elevating the world, my friend.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. And, you know, I've often told people in the 7 years of doing a radio show, I have learned more than I would have went to 4 colleges because it's not in a book what's been written in a book from the people
right.
who wrote the book. You know, so it's really cool. And I just feel blessed that I have the opportunity to meet the people like Patrick Huff that are out trying to change the school systems for children and the Michael Mojo Whiskey. I think I'm saying it right. You know,
well, you know, my nickname is Mojo. Austin Powers stole it from me, so I'm going to shorten it to that.
Well, you know, for what you're teaching out there, okay, is I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God just places us in a path, and we just have to wait till we get down the path to recognize where we are. But the thing of it is, what you've experienced and what you're doing is going to be able to teach people there's going to be a ripple effect for a long period of time, and people have not yet even experienced, okay, what you're trying to teach them. But the good news is...
Well, you know, and we all have that. We all throw the stone in the pond, and those ripples
right.
go out. Far more than right. we even know.
Yes. Yes. So my message to people out there is connect with Michael. How can they find you and how can they connect with you?
My website that you gave out and books are on Amazon.com. If they just type in wildlife, 2 separate words, the latest book, then it'll take them to my author page and email me. I'm happy to keep in touch with people. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. I really love, you know, social media to talk directly with the folks that are out there.
Well, we put it up on our social media sites. If you're looking to get the book, if you're looking to get to the website, if you're looking to meet Michael personally, email me, Tony at Tony Gambone, and I'll do an email introduction to you. Michael, I look forward to connecting with you off the air and finding out how I can help market more of what you're doing and stay connected. So thank you very much for your time today.
Tony, to be continued. I've met a soulmate today. We're kindred spirits, and I'm blessed to know you, man.
Thanks, pal. Same here. Folks, I'm not even going to recap. We're done. We're over the time limit, but tell you what, it was well worth it. See you next week, 10:30 Central Standard Time on Workshop Wednesdays at the Tough Talk Radio Network. Thank you.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
it's Flo, and this is my impression of a traveling lounge singer.
And we're going up the airport escalator. Hey, where are you from?
Ha ha, no response. Classic. Got in an accident, so you gotta take a cab, huh? No cabs at Progressive Service Centers. They got rental cars on site, which is out of sight, you know?
Progressive takes the hassle out of claims. Just drop your car off at one of our service centers and we'll manage the rest.
Here's a little number I like to call. Waiting for the shuttle bus.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Service centers not available in all areas. You have a choice of repair facilities.